Hi everyone, I am back with another episode. It's been a while. Life has been really busy lately. And yeah, to give you a quick update, it was my birthday a couple of days ago, and I had a really, really fun time. I went to my first male strip show with my friend, and it was such a blast. It was such a good time. Yeah, male strip shows are so different to like the female version. it was so wholesome and like so cute. They had like costumes and props, and it was more of like a stage show. And then they did do like lap dances, but it was just like on the floor type of thing. But yeah, it was just more about like watching the stage, and you know, like it's still like, obviously they are still catering to our fantasies as well, but it's in a different way. I feel like in the female version, it's very like the fantasy is like to be with us, like, you know, for the man to whatever, have sex with us or take us out on a date, or like, you know, like more intimate. And in the male version, I feel like it's more of a like a party, entertainment, fun show kind of vibe, which I really enjoyed. Like, it was so wholesome, and yeah, it was really interesting. I have so many like thoughts and questions, and I'm actually considering asking one of the guys if he would be willing to come on to my show and do an episode with me, because I think it would be very interesting to have an exchange about the industry and like the differences between the female and male stripper industry, and the conventions and the challenges, etc. But it was just so funny to be like on the other side for once, because like usually I'm the one that's like, you know, I'm the one dancing, so I'm the one that's being wooed, I'm the one in like control and stuff, and or power, so to speak. But this time, like, I was totally, it's so funny, like I was doing all the things that I usually find like, that I usually like find funny when customers do it, you know, like I was all wooed and like cheering and giggling and like, oh my gosh. So I don't know, it was so interesting, and I wonder, like, is that how, you know, how men feel when they see me? Like, it's so funny. But yeah, man, great abs. I saw great abs. I saw great muscles, great bodies. My favorite was probably the firefighters, because I have a thing for firefighters. So there was like firefighters, soldiers, construction workers. That's when I was on stage. So actually my friend that I went with, she's also my boss. I teach pole in her studio, and she arranged for me to go on stage. And it was just hilarious. It was so cute. I loved it. I got a lap dance. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. Oh, and cowboys. There was a cowboy act. I'm like trying to remember all of the acts. I was pretty drunk too, so I was definitely having a good time. At some point, at the end, I started dancing myself. It was so funny. It was a good time. So yeah, hopefully stay tuned. Hopefully there'll be like a collab podcast episode with a male strip representative and me. But yeah, getting into this week's episode today, I've been wanting to talk about this topic for a while, but like I said, I just got really busy and it was kind of like I had an hour here and there where a couple of times I was almost about to record an episode, but then I chose self-care over recording because I've just been stretched out pretty thin. I've been working a lot. So when I find that like one spare hour, I've needed that for self-care and rest. But here I am. I hope you didn't miss me too. Well, I mean, of course, I hope you missed me. I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, I wanted to talk about negative self-talk today because I think that's such an important topic on the journey to empowerment and freedom and confidence. And I think it's something that everybody struggles with, every single human being, no matter how rich they are, no matter how hot they are, no matter how talented they are, no matter how genius they are, no matter how much they have going for themselves, they still struggle with negative self-talk because I think it's just part of being human. And I think in our society, it's not really talked about. And because our society like is so much about positive mindset and, you know, and all of that and success and growth, which is all great, but I think it can be easily slip into this like myth or misconception that some people who have a certain amount of success or money or look a certain way don't have a inner critic or don't have a negative self-talk. And I think that's like a really dangerous myth, because I think because of that notion, a lot of people tend to shame themselves when they notice their inner negative self-talk arising. So, and I'm guilty of that too. I definitely, when I notice my inner negative self-talk coming up, that I kind of shut down or that I like shame myself for it. And that I'm like, you know, telling myself what a loser you are, you know, like you're so not confident and all of those things. But the problem with that is that it actually perpetuates the cycle and makes it worse. And I'm going to talk about that later. Because I think it's important to understand why we have a negative inner voice. Why do we have an inner critic? I think everybody can relate to this idea that we have like a voice in our head that tends to be kind of negative and judgmental and critical, both towards ourselves and others. And it comes up usually in situations where we feel triggered. Triggered is such a big word, and you know, but yeah, like triggered, or somehow our buttons are being pushed, or we feel jealousy, or we feel envy. Something along those lines is usually when. Or at least these are the situations that the voice is very prominent. But, you know, depending on how much inner work you've done, you could have a very loud and very prominent inner critic. And it could be like almost always present. And I definitely know individuals that haven't really worked on that, and that struggle with their inner critic constantly talking to them and like constantly having this negative voice inside. And I think that really affects everything, you know, and it starts obviously with how you feel about yourself. These people that I know that really struggle with it are usually people that haven't really been able to connect with their self-esteem and their self-love and their self-worth. But I think it's important to understand that it's not because they are not confident. It's rather that the negative self-talk is affecting their confidence. But then, sorry, my cat jumped on my shelf. but the negative voice doesn't come from a lack of confidence, or doesn't come from, you know, not being good enough or not being confident enough at all. Actually, it's a coping mechanism, and it's coming from a place where we felt hurt, and in some way we were hurt, and this voice emerged to protect us and to warn us from the same thing happening again. So let me give a specific example. For me, my inner critic, my negative voice, is a lot about my fear of abandonment. So for me, sorry, I had to remove my cat. He was bugging me. So for me, when I was really young, I felt abandoned by especially my mother, both emotionally and physically, mostly emotionally though. And that resulted and me being really afraid of being rejected by people. So whether it be romantic partners, whether it be friends, acquaintances, even people that I barely know, I have like a tendency to be extremely, I have a tendency to be a people pleaser, to try to please them so they don't leave me. But this used to be a lot worse, and I've actually worked a lot on this. So I've done huge progress when it comes to that, because I used to be like, it would literally affect how I feel about myself if people reject me. And now I have this core self-worth and inner knowing of who I am, that I don't get affected anymore when people reject me. But this voice is still going to be present. And even though I've done a lot of growth, I still notice my voice coming up. And it's important, I think, to... So a really good example is jealousy or feelings of envy. And oftentimes, it's not even like... very conscious that we feel like, oh my gosh, I feel so jealous of this person. It's oftentimes a more subtle dynamic. But if you feel some kind of negativity towards a person, or if seeing a person makes you suddenly feel negative emotions, like resentment and jealousy, then I think it's a good indication to look at exactly why. So I'll give examples of me. I take acting classes and I dance. Those are like my two biggest passions that I'm trying to build in a career from. So when I see certain dancers online that post their videos of them doing pole or doing a competition or doing a showcase somewhere, and it's interesting, it's not with everyone, obviously, it's just with certain individuals, I feel negativity come up, and I feel like a sense of jealousy, but the jealousy is wrapped in like a more, in like a blanket of, I dislike her, I dislike this person. But actually, when I dig deeper into that, I realize I don't dislike her. Like, she didn't give me any reason to not like her. It's actually the fact that I admire her success, and I wish I had that success myself. And my ego is, or I don't want to say ego, because the ego gets such a bad rep, and it's actually not the ego, it's this kind of negative inner voice. My inner negative voice is telling me that, you know, I can never get that, and so I resent that person. But the way I deal with it now is, when I have these feelings come up, I first I acknowledge them, because I think a lot of people fail already at this first step, because they think if they can just push those feelings down or disregard them or ignore them, they're gonna go away. But it doesn't work like that with any emotion. No singular emotion will go away if you suppress it. So you have to acknowledge it. So first step, I acknowledge that I'm feeling that way. And the next step is I show myself compassion for it, because I know I have really come to know this inner voice of me. And typically, it's a voice that comes out, or that is kind of built in childhood or teenagehood. For me, I think it was somewhere early teenagehood, in between childhood and teenager. And I know her. I know this voice. I know how she felt back then, how she felt abandoned by everyone, how she felt lonely, how she felt humiliated by people in school who used to make fun of me. And so I can look at that voice, I can listen to that voice and understand that she comes from that place, from that time where I felt that way, but she is no longer who I am. She is kind of an echo of the past. That's kind of how I imagine this voice to be, because it's usually an echo of past hurt, past trauma, past pain. So I can acknowledge it. I can acknowledge her, and then I can say, I hear you, but that's not who I am anymore. I have grown, and I can now transform. I was gonna say let go, but it's not about letting go of those thoughts. You are transforming those thoughts from she's better than me, she's a better dancer than me, she's more successful than me, I can never be that successful, I can never make it like that, she has better circumstances, blah blah, whatever it may be. I transform that into, I have the potential to achieve anything I set my mind to if I put in the attention and time and focus. But before that, even, I am good enough regardless. Just because she can do a certain move I can't do doesn't mean that she's more worthy or valuable than I am. So it kind of comes from this place of really having done a lot of introspection and really learning to love myself. But this is like the hardest step, right? This is a process of alchemy, because we're taking a negative thought or a negative emotion and we're turning it into appreciation, first of all, because under all that negativity actually lies my appreciation for this person, right? I appreciate her style. I appreciate her moves. I admire her moves. I actually, I like, right? I admire her. So I can transform that negativity into like digging deeper and understanding that I'm actually admiring this person. I'm actually acknowledging and that I like it. And that's the first step. And then also transforming the way I think about myself to from thinking, oh, I will never be able to dance that way, or I will never be able to be successful like that, to I can get there. I have everything I need. Because think about it. The fact that you are triggered by watching that person be successful, it means that you know deep down you can be there yourself. You are recognizing something in that person that you see in yourself, but you haven't developed yet. And that's what makes you kind of butthurt or angry or frustrated or, you know, resentful. But really, it shows you, it's actually a blessing, because it shows you have that potential. You see it in the other person because the other person is mirroring it from you. We are always mirroring each other. It's it's wild. But yeah, once you realize that, I live in so much more peace now. It's amazing. Of course, I am, like I said, I'm still not perfect and I'll never be. I still have these feelings come up and these thoughts when I see certain people have a certain, like, achieve a certain thing that I want to achieve, or I see like a really talented person doing something that I want to be able to do. It makes me feel like sometimes I still have that come up, but I can now, I have the tools and I have the awareness and I've done the foundational work that I can transform it quickly. Like in a matter of minutes, I can now get out of that funk and get out of that state. And that's huge, because it used to be, you know, you can stay in that forever, for weeks, for months, for days, whatever it may be, for hours. Now I can get out of it within matter of minutes. And I wanna, like, this is such a huge passion of mine, or like wish, is I wanna help others learn the tools to overcome their inner negative voice. And it's not about shutting that voice out forever, because like I said, I don't think that I don't think it ever ends. It's kind of just part of being human, and like, we're flawed. We're not, I don't know, we're just not perfect. And I think it's so deeply part of being human is having insecurities and doubts and fears, and they're always gonna be there. But the difference between someone who lives happy, happy is even the wrong word, between someone who is mindful and conscious, and therefore like lives in peace, and someone who is constantly, you know, brooding or resentful or in a negative state, is that the person who's conscious is doing the work to constantly transform whatever comes up. It's a constant process of transforming the negative into your power, into your drive and your fuel. And that's another thing that I want to talk about is, it used to be kind of my fuel. The way I used to transform it was, well, I'm going to show you, and I'm going to show all these people that doubted me and that made fun of me, and look at me now. And like, it still, you know, obviously it still worked, and I was still able to transform and let my negativity fuel me to do good, like to work on myself. But it wasn't like the best way. And now actually I've kind of come to realize that it's not about showing them. It's not about showing anyone, really. It's about showing yourself. And, you know, it all comes back to yourself. Like, if you feel like you need to prove something to somebody else, if you feel like somebody owes you something because they've done you wrong or you've done them wrong, and this is a really hard pill to swallow, but I truly come to understand that in this life, nobody owes anyone anything. And that's, you know, can be a hard pill to swallow, because it sucks when people have done us wrong. We feel it's hard to let that go, right? But I think this idea is helpful to not have the pressure of, oh my gosh, I need to let this go. I need to let this resentment go. But instead, I'm going to transform it into my fuel, into my power. And because that way, you don't have to be ashamed of it. You don't have to feel pressure to instantly feel better. It's about digging to the core of why you're feeling this negativity and acknowledging it and showing yourself compassion for it, and then realizing that it actually is showing you your potential and what you can become. And I have seen this on my own flesh and body. I have lived this. It's true. When we get ourselves out of this mindset of lack and negativity and thinking that seeing someone who is beautiful or successful or talented means that you can't be successful or beautiful or talented, you will never achieve anything, or you will never grow from that mindset. And it's also a false, straight up false mindset. Supporting or acknowledging, admiring, appreciating someone else's success, beauty, talent, whatever it may be, does not in any way diminish your own potential. In fact, it's actually helping you. The contrary, like, of this lack mindset is actually, and you know, the truth of, oh my gosh, hold on, oh my gosh, I had to pause because my cats are literally going insane and knocking over my furniture right now. So I had to stop and see what they did, because that was a big old thud. Turns out they knocked over my big mirror. And this, they knocked over that mirror so many times. And for some reason, like, it still hasn't broke yet. Knock on wood. I hope it won't. But yeah, that got me out of it. What was I saying? Yes. I was talking about... Oh, yes. Yes. I was talking about the lack mentality versus the abundance mentality. If you want to give it names, you know. That's what you could call it. But, you know, like I said, these words are being used so much. It's really more important to understand the concept, because really the way the universe works is if you... And the way... energy works, and the way we mirror each other is, if you see somebody like successful or talented in a way that you want to be talented or successful or beautiful, even if it's like a beauty thing, if you see somebody who's fitter than you and you want to be that fit or whatever it may be, it only shows you. You only have a reaction because you see that potential in yourself. You see it in them because they're mirroring back the potential you have, and transforming your negativity into appreciation, admiration, and knowing that you have the potential in you will allow you to gain momentum towards that, and actually align with that energy faster, if that makes sense. So, you know, people say that you should surround yourself with the type of people you want to become. If you want to, you know, be successful in a certain industry, you should surround yourself with people who are already there, because you can catch on to their energy. And there is a truth in that, but it's important to know that you need to be in this kind of open, abundant mindset in order to catch on to their energy. Because if you're feeling low vibrational, if you're feeling like you're in this negative lack mentality, you are going to feel even smaller being around these people, and you're going to make yourself feel smaller, and you're gonna think that you can never get there. And that's a funk that it's hard to get out of, but it's possible to get out of. I'm telling you, because I've been there and I've gotten out of it. And it's almost like a muscle. I feel like it's a muscle that you train, and the more you do it, the better you become at not only like spotting it, because you need to spot when it happens. I feel like so often people are not even in touch with their emotions enough, where they don't even realize that they're feeling triggered, or they don't even realize that they have negativity, that they're harboring negativity towards another person, and so they don't do anything about it, and it's kind of a happening on a subconscious level, but it affects their behavior. And I'm a very, very, I've said this in multiple episodes before, but I'm a very sensitive person. I have really, really good antennas for people who do that. Like, I have a really good antenna for people who feel jealousy, resentment, or feel triggered, or, you know, harbor some kind of negativity towards me, but don't realize it. And I can sense it. I am very intuitive, and I can sense that shit. And I don't know, sometimes it really bothers me that I'm this sensitive, because I feel like it would be in certain occasions it would be a blessing to just be a little, like, to not know. Because, like, say, you know, more acquaintances or people that I don't really have deep, like, a deep relationship with, or they're not my friends, you know, they're just acquaintances, I don't need to know, you know what I mean? Like, it would be better if I didn't know in those cases, you know, but it is what it is. It's who I am. I think it's my superpower. And obviously I have it for a reason, because I'm out here talking about it and trying to help others train that sense, and overcome their negativity. But yeah, I definitely notice it a lot. I would say especially from other women, although that's not, I notice it from other men as well, but in a different way. There's like one specific individual in my acting class that I feel like is harboring, on a very subconscious level, harboring resentment towards me. And I think it's because they see something in me that they want to embody themselves, like I was talking about earlier, but they are not acknowledging it, so it's affecting their behavior towards me and I can sense it, that they are feeling negatively towards me. Even if they kind of, let's say, smile or do something that you would, on a surface level, think that they're being friendly, I can tell that there is a resentment there. And I, in return, find myself feeling like anxious, and because this is my response, my habitual pattern is that when I feel people feeling negative about me, I get anxious because I think they're gonna leave me, even if we don't have a relationship. Like, this is just such a subconscious pattern, like, it's, I can't stop it, you know. But I've learned to now notice it, acknowledge it, and then kind of understand that it's not my responsibility. If this person is not digging deeper into why they're feeling negative towards me, or if this person is not even acknowledging that they're feeling negative towards me, that is not my problem, and it's not my responsibility to help them to do so, and it doesn't affect it. Should not affect how I feel about myself, and I don't let it affect how I feel about myself anymore. And it's because I have stronger energetic boundaries, and that was really hard to build. That shit was really hard for me to build, because that people pleaser was just so deeply ingrained in me, because it came from, like, really, really early childhood. But I just repeatedly over and over told myself that it's not my responsibility. And if people feel jealousy or resentment or some kind of negativity towards me, that is their problem and it has nothing to do with who I am. So I have a strong core of knowing of who I am now. And it's nice because it helps me forgive myself more easily when I mess up. It helps me forgive others more easily. It helps me have compassion because I know that I deserve it and that I'm inherently a good person who's always trying their best. But like I said, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. It's like so part of being human to, I don't know, all of these ugly sides that we don't like to acknowledge, you know, feeling jealous or feeling hurt, feeling betrayed, abandoned, feeling guilty, desiring something that you don't have, resenting somebody for it, for having something you don't have, or being somebody that you're not, or being in a way that you want to be. Those are things we don't like to acknowledge because we don't really feel good about that, you know? It's not the proudest, the part of ourselves that we're proud of. But I'm telling you, if you start acknowledging that part of you, you're gonna unlock so much power. So much power, because that is what our power comes from, is from the sides in us we don't want to look at, the things we are kind of ashamed of, or the things that we don't really like about ourselves. And that is, you know, what people call quote-unquote shadow work. You look at your shadow. And if you want to bring astrology into this, you know, this would be like the energy of Pluto, because Pluto is about looking at your fears and your the things that you're not proud of, the things that you're embarrassed or that you're ashamed of. But yeah, I think it's a lifelong journey. But I see so many results when I do this kind of work. And like I said, now I'm able to transform this negativity way faster than I used to be. And I actually want to tell a little story that happened recently that I really felt like was related to this topic, and I thought it was just so interesting, and really showed how people who are self-aware can transform that negativity fast. So this is a funny story. One of my classmates from acting class and I, we had a rehearsal, and we were rehearsing on stage, and this person like kept, you know, kind of messing up their lines, like didn't have their lines down. And I said, I think maybe what I said is, I'm not comfortable going up with a rehearsal like this, so I think we should rehearse again and make sure we have our lines down before we go up and present it in class. But they actually didn't, like, this person didn't let me finish my thought and kind of interrupted me after I said, I don't feel comfortable going up with after a rehearsal like that. And they interrupted me and said, like, oh, come on, like, haven't you seen me perform? Like, I always manage to get my lines down. Like, that's ridiculous. And kind of instantly got defensive and like, yeah, super defensive. And hurt and triggered. And I was like, oh, whoa, like, okay. I was like, actually, like, you interrupted me. I wanted to say, I think we should just rehearse again and make sure we have our lines down before we go up. And it seemed like, I was like, you know, in a calm way, I said, it seemed like you were kind of hurt by what I said. I didn't mean it as a attack or criticism. I just think it would be a good idea for us to rehearse again. And it was really funny how, you know, like, she was in this funk, but she was able to snap out of it. And then she kind of like realized what she was doing and how she went off on me. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't know what got into me. And then, like, we were both able to laugh about it, like, literally 2 minutes after. It was so funny. Like, we kind of had this clash, and she kind of got off on me, and I was like, whoa, you know, I didn't mean it like that. And I think, you know, and I kind of just, like, in a calm way, like, kind of told her how I meant it. And she realized she was, basically what happened is, like, her inner negative voice came up, and it kind of triggered her to have this, like, reaction and get really defensive. But then she was able to quieten that voice, or to acknowledge the voice, and realize that that wasn't her. You know, it was almost literally like that negative voice spoke and just came out of her. And then she was like, whoa, I don't know what got into me. I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed. I was like, no, it's okay. Like, we had like a solid 5 minute laugh about it. It was actually hilarious. And I was like, it's okay. Life is rough. She was like, I don't know what's going on with me right now. And she was like, I have Saturn opposing my Mars right now. So she's also really into astrology, so we can talk like that. We actually understand each other. But it was just so funny how she was able to instantly snap out of that. And her character, like, the scene that we were doing, her character is very, very judgmental. So, and you know, and very negative like that. So it was almost like that character came out of her, and she, like, snapped into it and then snapped out of the character. And then she was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what's going on. I'm so sorry. And, you know, actors are really funny. Or I guess, like, acting is really funny in that way, because we are able to snap out of something so easily. And I think, like, that's why acting is so cathartic, and it actually has helped me so much to be even more able to, like, discern and, like, recognize this voice and kind of snap out of it. Because I think, I don't know, this is this, like, interesting thing that happens when you start acting, where you put on so many personas and then you strip them down and you kind of really realize what's left and of you and who you are. Yeah, it's a really beautiful thing, and it's so humbling. I don't know, it's just so humbling to play a character or play somebody else and then come back to yourself. And yeah, I don't know, it's hard to explain. But, you know, if you've thought about taking acting classes or going to an acting class, this is your sign. Go do it, because it's so, I think, literally everybody could benefit from at least one acting class, because it's so cathartic. It's so freeing to embarrass yourself or to, yeah, to be free and like be vulnerable in front of people and see that you're actually okay and like be seen. Like you're really being seen, you know? When you're acting, you have to show yourself. Even though you're playing someone else, you're showing yourself. It's kind of weird. But yeah, it's so helpful with self-esteem and confidence and like this ability to train your awareness of your inner voice. But anyways, I've blabbered a lot. I definitely come to time for this episode, but I hope this was helpful. Yeah, let me know if this was helpful. I was trying to be really specific about how you can deal with your inner critic and your inner negative voice. And if you came this far, please let me know. Give me, if you want, you know, I would love to hear some feedback. How does your inner critic show up in your life and how do you deal with it? Yeah, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening and talk to you soon, hopefully. Bye.